This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're just a couple of days away from Marathon Monday. And so today, Boston Police Commissioner William Evans and Boston Mayor Marty Walsh talked about safety measures the city is taking in preparation for the 122nd Boston Marathon.
As people come to the marathon, they're going to see a heavy presence of uniformed officers. We're going to have a lot of undercover officers. There'll be observation teams up on the roofs. There's SWAT assets. There'll be bomb-sniffing dogs.
That's Boston Commissioner Bill Evans there. As for those rooftop observation teams, Evans said that's a shift in surveillance tactics BPD instituted after the 2017 mass shooting, where a gunman killed dozens and wounded hundreds from a hotel room in Las Vegas.
You know, unfortunately, as terrorism and their tactics evolve, we have to evolve.
Which is why it did not escape Evans' attention, nor anyone else's, that this year marks the 5th anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing.
We can't get complacent. It's hard to believe it's been 5 years since we lost those young kids on that tragic day. But again, we're ready, and hopefully, we have a great day.
I'm sure we will, in fact. But we did want to take stock of that day back in 2013 and where we are now. And we want to do that with one of the key law enforcement figures at the center of Boston's response to the bombings 5 years ago, Daniel Linsky. He's retired from BPD now, but 5 years ago, he was superintendent in chief of the Boston Police Department. And he joins me now in the studio. Daniel Linsky, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Meg.
So the first thing I actually wanted to play, a little bit more tape for you, Mr. Linsky, if I could, because you were at, in 2013, you were at the finish line not long after the bombs went off, which happened on April 15th, 2013. And just 9 days after that, after the city had been through the manhunt and the Watertown shootout, you actually shared your story and your experiences in a special WBUR forum that we held. And you recalled and detailed what had happened to you and the city. And I just wanted to play a moment from that. You're describing what happened after you took a call from one of your sergeants. So let's listen.
And there was so much noise and so much confusion. I didn't know what Danny had. But I know that Danny Keelan needed me on Boylston Street. So I ran over the bridge into Kenmore Square. By that time, one of my deputy superintendents was there, and they had received a phone call that there was some type of explosion at the finish line. When I turned onto the street, I got out and I got briefed, and Danny told me, "They hit us twice, boss."
What's it like hearing that 5 years later?
It's chilling. It still brings back the horrifying memories of what our victims endured that day, what our officers had to see, our first responders had to see. I remember that forum. I just went back to being on Boylston Street and remembering Danny Keeler, who did an amazing job and saved dozens of lives by instituting the plan, stepping up and commanding that scene, making sure that the street didn't get blocked. As Danny said, we get hit twice. We were standing in front of the Forum restaurant, and there was a young police officer that I had stopped along the way. And every year I walk that route when I was in charge as the incident commander to, one, thank my cops for what they do every day for us in the city of Boston, and two, make sure we're doing our job looking for bombs and EOD, making sure that there are no devices. I have a unique personal experience where my best friend's dad was a Boston police officer. He's the reason I became a cop. And I unfortunately responded to his scene when he was killed by a bomb in Rosendale, Massachusetts. And he was yelling at the officers there that there are secondary devices and that they shouldn't leave him. They didn't. But when Danny said that to me, I had met this young officer. I was walking, shaking hands. He told me he was my new neighbor. He was buying a house 5 houses up from me. And I talked to him for 20 minutes about the neighborhood and schools and places to eat. And went and did our assignment that day. And when I got back there, that officer had been injured.
Yeah.
And next to him was a little boy who was murdered by these terrorists and a young, beautiful woman who was murdered by these terrorists. And along with the horror of that image, I also share with you that there was a wave of shame and guilt that I spent 20 minutes talking about where I live and our neighborhood and good places to eat. And I took my eye off of my mission to look for unattended backpacks and bombs, and I was afraid that I'd walk by that backpack and missed it, and that that family's loss was on my my soul and my responsibility. It wasn't until Wednesday morning when I realized that the bag was there for 6 or 7 minutes. But that was a burden I carried that day, and that's why when you play that tape, I'm immediately back on that scene, looking at that horror, and at the same time looking at, in awe, reflecting at what happened there, where our cops, our firefighters, our medics, our citizens just stepped up and did amazing things to limit the loss of life. We lost so much that day.
Daniel Linsky, can I just jump in here for a second?
Sure.
Because you and I, we've talked a bunch of times in the past 5 years. I don't think you've ever told me that about the guilt that you carried. About I didn't know you'd walk right by the backpack.
I didn't.
I mean, you took 20 minutes to talk.
And like I say, I don't think there was a law enforcement official who feared bombs more than me based on the death of Jerry Hurley, that I'd saw the horror that day that it happened to him personally and the family after his death. So, it's not something I bring up. You got me in the moment when you played that audio tape again and brought me back to the time on the street. But we were ready and we were prepared and we were doing everything we could. Unfortunately, you can't prevent every threat. The commission is going to challenge this year with new threats that have come out in our country and our world that we have to address. He's addressing them. The men and women of the BPD, the fire, EMS, medical staff, they'll address them.
Yeah.
And hopefully our secret weapon will help us address them, which is the Boston strong community. It's, you know, we had 834 police officers on the street that day for Boston PD. There were about 1 million people. So now if we add those, we have 2 million eyes that can help out Boston police, make sure that just like Jeff Bauman, when he saw Tim Unzenayef arrive, he looked at him, he assessed him, he realized he was a threat. He thought he was acting suspicious. And when he came out of his induced coma, he immediately notified us that he saw who
did it. He said he saw the guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it works.
Can I just ask you, and forgive me, because you know my job is to press a little sometimes.
Sure.
But you opened the door here. I don't think I've ever asked you how much that day changed you. How much did it change you?
Immensely. It changed me immensely. Thankful for I sometimes do presentations to other law enforcement and have shared some of the lessons that we learned that day, the good and the bad. We did a lot of things right. We made a lot of mistakes too. And sharing that information has been helpful, but when I do those presentations, it's raw. I can't fathom the challenges and the losses that the victims who were deceased and their families have gone through these past 5 years, the challenges of the victims who lost limbs and were horrifically injured. I think it changed our entire country.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of gotten complacent after 9/11. And it woke us back up again that we need to be resilient, and I think we were. But it forever changed me. It forever changed the Boston Police Department and forever changed our city.
How did it change you?
If you drop a dish near me, my son will tell you, I have a startle reflex that's probably not healthy, not appropriate. It's made me think more tactically and be more cynical when I'm looking at events and security for our clients to make sure that I'm, probably overdoing and looking at things that maybe will never, ever happen. But it's makes me, with the folks I work with, try and go to the extent we can to ensure every potential detail and every potential threat is addressed. It's made me thankful for my family, my kids, my world, made me ever proud of being a member of that police department and having the joy of working with the men and women through that event.
Yeah. Thinking about the complexity of assuring the safety of a million people and more than 30,000 runners, and how I feel like every year since then, it's gotten more complex, right? Because, of course, we're all, I shouldn't say we. Of course, every member of law enforcement at every level is thinking about all the possible risks. But you know, as we heard Commissioner Evans say at the top of our conversation, it seems like every year there's a whole new set of risks to have to think about. I mean, how manageable is that for law enforcement?
You know, I think law enforcement, their mission and the things they can do to make people safe is constantly evolving. I wasn't in the law enforcement career when the Texas Tower event happened, but I'm sure that changed the conversations that law enforcement was having about issues with high elevated positions. And it seemed like a long time before we had another one that that truly impacted our country. There's always challenges. And the thing is not to have the plan. You need a plan. But more important than the plan is training a whole cadre of people, training your organization to plan.
Yeah.
I had a great plan, 146 pages, I think it was. We actually had a secondary route on Boylston Street if a fire truck had to be there and put a fire out, that we would just blow open barriers. And we had a secondary timing mat, and we'll have it again this year, that you would just continue running down Commonwealth Avenue, and it would be the exact distance that the runners would need for their qualifying time. We had that level of detail. Mm-hmm. However, when we get hit, we didn't have a plan for, okay, we've gotten two bombs, we've got three dead, 254 wounded. We had some contingency plans we'd put in place, and what we did is get our teams to look and assess the situation and come up with the response. And that's one of the things we try to do is to make sure we're ready for the response and that we can be robust and flexible.
Yeah. So, you're a retired member of BPD, and as we head towards this coming marathon on Monday, like what are you going to be thinking about?
Well, I have a long storied history with the marathon. My first assignment, first time I put on a blue uniform and wore my gun, was at the corner of Boylston and Hereford Street. We were taken out a couple days early from the police academy to serve that assignment, and that was my first day in a uniform. It was quite a different scene some 27 years later. So I'll be thinking about that day. I'm going to I've got the day off. My wife and I are going to go to the Red Sox game, enjoy the Red Sox. We're going to go over and see some friends, cross that finish line, which, it's so important we take it back. If you've never been to the marathon, please come. We truly win against our enemies for every person we put on those sidewalks to cheer on those runners. I graduated from the academy April 18th, 1987. I had a party, met my wife that night. We had our first kiss and our first... I used to be known as Disco Danny Linsky before I was a cop, so I had my first dance, we had our first kiss, and we got married 6 years later on April 18th. So this is my 25th wedding anniversary, and I'm going to be heading out to Hawaii with no kids. My wife and I are going to enjoy some time off together. I've never forgot my wedding anniversary. I got married on the day I graduated the academy, so I'd never forget it except for once. And that was the day after the marathon bombing shootout. My wife reminded me that I missed the anniversary. So I had to do a do-over, and this is it.
Well, you both really, truly deserve it. Daniel Linsky, I can't thank you enough. I mean, you've come in here a lot in the past 5 years, and you surprised me this time. So thank you so much for sharing some stuff which is still real to this day, even though it's been 5 years. Thank you.
I can't believe it's 5 years. It seems like 5 seconds, and yet it seems like 5 decades, yeah, depending on your view.
Well, Daniel Linsky is the retired superintendent-in-chief of the Boston Police Department. He's now managing director at the risk management firm Kroll. Thanks again.
Thanks.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.